This podcast is a ministry of Oriel Christian Assembly in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit our website at www.orielchristianassembly.org.
We're going to read from Matthew 17, and we're going to be studying verses 14 through 21. Matthew 17, verses 14 through 21. And my title for the message today is, How's Your Spiritual Power? Let me say it again. How's your spiritual power? How many know we need power in our lives? Amen? We need, and not only just power, but to emphasize what kind of power, we need spiritual power. Amen? We need the power of the Lord in our lives that we would be fruitful, that we would be obedient, that we would be effective in our world and in society that we live today. So this message today has to do with our spiritual power. So I ask you as we begin, how is your spiritual power today? I had to ask myself that as I prepared this. And in Matthew 17, we're going to read about a situation that happened with the disciples and with Jesus. And I think you know this story. It will get your attention. And there's some very important keys here that we want to read about today and study. So starting with verse 14 of Matthew 17, it says, And when they were come, meaning the disciples, to the multitude, or actually the people, when they were come to the multitude, the disciples came with the people, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. So today we see here the situation that a father came to Jesus. The disciples were there. They were with multitudes of people. But this particular man came to Jesus in verse 14 amongst the multitude of people. And he said here that he came to Jesus kneeling before him. I see here today, this was a father, of course, that he came to Jesus humbly. Amen? He came respectfully before the Lord. He came to Jesus on his knees saying, Lord, I need your help. Amen? Like today, we've come. Lord, we need your help. This is a holy place. Lord, we've come humbly before you to seek you. We need your help. And this father here came on the behalf of his son humbly. And he was asking here in the scriptures for mercy. He said, Lord, have mercy on my son. How many know we need mercy today? Amen? All of us, not only our children, but we need the mercy of God. But here in this particular passage, this father said, Lord, I'm coming to you humbly, and I need you to please show mercy on my son. And he begins to explain the situation with his son. This is the story of the healing of the demoniac son. Okay, I know you've read this before. It's a very important passage here. So this father came on the behalf of his son. And he said, Lord, I need you to have mercy. I need you to touch my son. And he begins to explain to Jesus what the situation was. He said, my son, he's a lunatic. He's sore, vexed, and oftentimes he puts himself into the fire and into the water. He begins to explain the situation with his son. And I want to break this down a little bit for you, what a lunatic means, what it means to be sore, vexed. In Mark 9:17, this is a cross-reference to the same story here. It says that this particular son had a dumb spirit, okay? He had an evil spirit. He had a demon spirit, a dumb spirit, okay? Another way to say it, the Amplified Bible says that he had epilepsy, okay? How many know sicknesses and disease, those are spirits. Okay, so this particular boy had a spirit of epilepsy. Another way the Amplified Bible says it is that he was moonstruck. You know, he was not in control. He was in a daze. Okay, when you have that type of a sickness, that spirit, it controls you. That's what it means to be demon possessed. All right, so he had a dumb spirit. He had a spirit of epilepsy. He was possessed. So you can see how this father was crying out to Jesus for mercy. Amen? He was crying out for help in time of need here. And we read in the story in verse 16, he says, "And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Let me read that again. And this is the Father speaking to Jesus. He says, "And you know what, Jesus? I brought my son to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Oh my God. That's not a good situation. I can imagine how Jesus had to feel. This was what? The 12 disciples that were with Jesus. Amen? The 12 that walked with Jesus and seen Jesus perform miracles and were right there. I mean, they were right where it was happening, walking the path of Jesus. And this particular man had gone to the disciples and he told Jesus, "You know what? They couldn't help my son. They couldn't cure him. They couldn't heal him." You know what this tells me here? That at this particular time, the disciples, they were what? Powerless. Amen? They were not doing the works of God. I mean, this man was crying out for help, and evidently he had had contact with the disciples at some point before this particular time where Jesus was there. But he said, "You know what, Jesus? I was with your group." Amen. "I was with the church." We could say it that way today. "I was with those who follow you, and you know what? They could not help my son. They couldn't cure him." What this also tells me is not only were the disciples at this point powerless, but they were failing spiritually. They were failing, okay? They were not doing what God had called them to do. They didn't have spiritual power at this point. And it had to be, you know what, embarrassing to Jesus, don't you think? These were the disciples of Jesus, like we are today, amen? Those disciples of that time, the 12, they represented the Lord. We represent the Lord today, amen? So what we do and what we say is a reflection upon Jesus today. So when this man came to the Lord and said, "You know what? Unfortunately, your disciples could not help my son," that showed that, you know what, those 12 were not where they needed to be with Jesus. And in the same way today, we must look at ourselves, as I'm sure these 12 did, and say, how is our spiritual power today? You know, if we had a situation like they did back in Bible times, and you know what, I've had these situations in my walk with the Lord where I had to deal with demon-possessed people. I don't know if you have had those circumstances, even here at the church. Could happen downstairs, could happen at home, can happen on the job, anywhere. I've had to be in those circumstances where, you know what, I was dealing with people who were controlled by the devil. And you know what? When that happens in your midst, you better be on your toes today. Amen? Just like in this situation, you know, this son of this father needed help. And unfortunately, the disciples, you know what? They could not help him. But we today must know that, you know what? The needs will be there. The situations are going to come in our time. We don't know when it happens, but there's going to come situations where we may have to deal with people who are possessed. And I'm asking you today, church, how's your spiritual power? If that happened to you today, would you be ready to deal with it? It's a very important question I'm asking you today, as the church must be ready. These disciples were not ready. They were not able in their particular walk with the Lord to help this child. So the question is, if you were presented the situation, could you deliver this demoniac son? I don't need you to raise your hand, but I need you to ask yourself today, could you set this son free of this spirit of epilepsy if you had that situation today? How would you come against this thing? How do we know today we're supposed to be able to heal the sick and deliver those that are bound today? Amen? That's part of our vision here as a church. We must be able to help those who are hurting. Amen? And those who are possessed are really in a bind today. Those who are controlled by evil spirits. Okay? This particular boy was controlled by a spirit of epilepsy. And he needed to be set free. But unfortunately, disciples were not in the place that they should have been, walking in the power to set somebody else free. Okay? Let's go on in this story, because it gets pretty deep here. Amen. Verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. So now Jesus responds to what this father said here. He says, you know what? You are a faithless and perverse generation. What he was saying, I'm going to break this down a little bit to you with the Amplified and so forth. He actually rebuked them. Amen? Nobody likes to get rebuked. I know I don't, right? But that's what Jesus was doing to the disciples here. He rebuked them because of the doubt that they had. They were doubting. They were not walking in faith. The Amplified Bible says, O faithless and perverse generation. Let me break it down even more. It says, O you unbelieving, warped, wayward, rebellious, and thoroughly perverse generation. Oh my God, talk about a rebuke. That's a rebuke from the Lord. I mean, these are his disciples, the ones who were supposed to do what Jesus was teaching them and training them. I mean, he not only taught them, but he showed it to them, how to do these types of things, okay? Jesus had to be disappointed in his 12. I hope he's not disappointed in us today, amen? I hope we would come to the forefront and be used of God, but he rebukes them for their doubt, okay? He rebukes them for having little faith, okay? Unbelieving faith. And when you're in a situation like this, your faith must be strong when you come against the devil, amen? When you come against someone that's possessed, you better be right with God if you're going to deal with that situation, amen? Otherwise, that spirit or those spirits will come on you. And we don't want that today. But Jesus rebuked them here. And he was disappointed in them. But thank God for his faithfulness. He says, you know what? Bring this son to me. Now Jesus begins to take matters in his own hands. Okay? And sometimes we need to do that too. When we don't do what we're supposed to do, when we don't come to the forefront, thank God that Jesus is always there for us. Amen? He's always faithful. He shows up when we need him. And even though the disciples didn't do what they were supposed to do, you know, Jesus was saying, how long is this going to be like this? I mean, you can see the frustration in Jesus here. How long do I have to suffer this with you? You know? And then he says, bring this boy to me. Now look at what he begins to do in verse 18 here. He says, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Amen? What did Jesus do? He says, he rebuked the devil, and the devil came out of him. Do you notice here, it didn't say that Jesus prayed for this boy, and then he was set free. It said he rebuked him. Amen? He took authority over this demon spirit. And when we're challenged with situations like this, we have to be prepared. Jesus was prepared here. Can you see it? Amen? Jesus was ready to deal with the devil eye to eye. He was prepared to deal with him. And he was ready to handle the situation. And why we must know that in our quiet times, you know, before we even come to church, we must have those quiet times with the Lord, because when we come here, that's when the action's supposed to take place. Amen? I mean, that's when the things are supposed to happen, when we come here, because we're prepared. Amen? Jesus was prepared to deal with the devil here, and he began to what? Rebuke this demon. I like the Amplified Bible. It says it a little bit different. It says, let me find it here. We're in verse 18. It says that he drove out the devil. Not only was the devil cast out, but he drove out the devil. And we need to do that sometimes. Even in our own selves, the devil, the enemy, tries to come in and hinder us. We have to drive him out of us. Amen? But in this particular situation, it says Jesus, he rebuked the devil, he took authority over the devil, and he commanded this demon spirit to go in Jesus' name. He did not pray over this young boy. And it says the child was cured from that sickness, that spirit of epilepsy, in the very hour. Meaning, he was cured right away. Amen? How many know sometimes we need answers right away? Amen? We need God to work on our behalf, and that's what happened here with Jesus. He came on the spot, and he helped this young boy, and he cast him out. He drove him out instantly. Are we prepared to do that today? Are we ready to take on the devil one-on-one if we have to today? Amen? Are we ready for situations to come across where, you know what, you know you're going to be dealing with people who are not controlled by themselves but are controlled by evil spirits? Are you ready for that, church? You need to be today. Amen. We live in a world that is totally controlled by the devil, and it's all about the flesh and what this body wants and what is good for this body. We don't live in a spiritual world. Amen. A world that is controlled by the Spirit of God. That's not the world we live in. We live in a very wicked world, a world that is controlled by the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. And of course, those are what Satan would want people to follow after. Not follow after God, but follow after what he wants for this world. And that's what we see today. So I bring you this today to make you realize what we may come up against from time to time, and how we will deal with it. Devils must be cast out. Jesus took authority here. He used what? His spiritual power. You have spiritual power today in Jesus. You have spiritual authority today in Jesus, but you got to use it. Amen? And for you to use it, you must be in the right place with God. All right? If you're not, if you're like on the fence and you're teetering on one side, you're with God, and one side you're with the world, you know what? You're not going to be able to deal with those who are in a difficult situation today, who need help spiritually, because you need help if you're like that today. But God is looking to us. We're the church of Jesus today. We're the ones who are supposed to reach out to those who are hurting, to those even who are possessed today, who are being controlled by evil spirits. This is happening every single day. Jesus took authority and he rebuked the spirit, and change took place. Okay? Change happened for this child. Now let's continue here. Verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" You notice here that after this happened, the disciples said, "Jesus, we need to talk to you. We need to go in another room." Okay? Can you notice here the disciples were embarrassed? Amen? They were they felt bad because they didn't do what they've been trained to do, what they were taught to do. It took Jesus to cover up for them. Amen? Jesus had to do what they were not able to do. And they said, you know what, Jesus, we want to talk to you. Come away from this multitude. Come away from the crowd. We want to talk to you privately. All right? And they then asked him, he says, why could not we cast him out? Very important question today. Disciples were saying, you know, Lord, we thought we knew what we were to do. We thought we learned our lessons well. We thought that we were trained good by you. But you know what? Whatever we did, it didn't work. Amen? It didn't work. What happened, Lord? What do I need to do? What was wrong that we could not help this child? I can imagine how they felt. Wouldn't you feel the same way today? If the Lord gave you an opportunity to help somebody and you just could not help that person and you had to walk away, you would feel bad in yourself. And that's what we see here with the disciples. They wanted Jesus to have a talk with them, to give them some explanation here. And we see that here, that Jesus took the time that he needed to minister to them and to give them the answer that they needed. As we go on in the scriptures here in verse 20, it says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Wow. What a statement today for the disciples of that time and for us today, the disciples of Jesus. He answers them honestly and tells them exactly where they were. He says, you know what? You did not help this young boy because of your unbelief. Our unbelief today can kill us. Our lack of faith today, our doubt today can literally hinder us and cripple us in our walk with the Lord today. In the Amplified Bible, it talks about your unbelief is as, it says, the littleness of your faith. The faith was so little. The disciples' faith was so little. It says that it is your lack of firmly relying trust. How many know we must, this was the message last week, we must trust in the Lord today. Amen? And our trust must be strong. All right? It can't be small. It can't be weak today. Our faith must be strong. It must not be weak. And Jesus, again, told his disciples, that it was because of your unbelief. Amen. I ask us today, as we examine ourselves, how's our faith today? How's our belief today? You know, where are we in our walk with the Lord? Do we realize today that we must have living faith? Amen? I'm talking not just faith. I want to put an adverb there, an adjective, meaning to express the kind of faith we should have is living faith. Amen? Faith that is alive today. Amen? Faith that is not dormant, that is dead, but it's alive. You're using your faith today. In your everyday walk with the Lord, in your circumstances, with your family, every day your faith is alive and doing well and getting stronger and stronger. How many know you have to use your faith for it to get stronger in your life? Amen? If you don't use your faith, you're going to lose your faith. Amen? So Jesus says, you know what? Disciples, you did not help this young boy because of your unbelief. They doubted. They didn't believe they could help him. And we need to ask ourselves today, could we help this young man? And I like what Jesus does here in verse 20. He says, you need to have faith like a grain of a mustard seed. Notice this now. The mustard seed is the smallest seed that you can have. And Jesus says, if you just have faith like that little seed, he's not saying you have to have tremendous, great faith. He says, faith as a little seed. Think about that today. That should get our attention. Little seed, right? A small seed. If we have just this kind of faith, he says, you know what? You will be able to say or speak to this mountain to move or to totally be removed or to go to a different place. And he says, and nothing shall be impossible for you. Amen? Nothing. Wow. That needs to be encouraging for us today. That if we have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you know what? We can speak to mountains today. Amen. How many have some mountains in your life today? I know you do. There's mountains in your family, right? There's mountains in your community, in our community here. There's mountains on our workplace. Those are opportunities that if we just use our faith and we speak to those mountains, amen? Speak to those mountains to move, to be removed, right? That he says it will happen, but we must what? Believe today, amen? We must not walk in unbelief. We cannot allow doubt to come in, praise God. Living faith, okay? Mountain-moving faith is what Jesus showed his own disciples here when he dealt with this young boy who was possessed with a demon. Amen. You notice here that Jesus doesn't say that you have to do something. He says you have to speak something. Amen. Just like when Jesus dealt with this boy, he didn't pray over this boy. He just commanded the spirit to go. Amen? There's a difference. You know, there's a time that we need to pray, right? But then there's a time we need to speak and speak the word of the Lord, okay? With power. If we're praying, you know what? When those situations come, then we'll have the word in our heart and we'll be able to speak it with authority. But if we're not praying, we're not spending time with God's word, when those circumstances come, or those mountains come in your life today, or those obstacles come in your life, you know what? You won't walk in that strong faith. You'll be weak, and you won't be able to do anything to the mountain. But if you're spending the time with God that you need to, you're getting strengthened in your spirit, you know what? You will have this kind of faith, that you'll be able to speak to the mountain to move. Amen. Speak the mountain to be cast into the sea. And it shall be by what? Your tongue, by what you say today. See, it's important what's inside of us, amen? What is inside of us must be God, amen? What we have inside will come out one way or another, all right? And we need to fill up with God so God's word will come out. And we'll be able to have that confidence and that ability to know that, you know what? God said, I can do this. Realize what Jesus was trying to teach his disciples. He's trying to let them know, you know what? Nothing is impossible for you. Amen? Nothing. Jesus put no limit to what we can do for him today. When you deal with a possessed person, you don't need to be afraid today. Nothing is impossible for you. You can help that demon-possessed person become free if you know who you are in the Lord today. Amen? You must know it. See, you must have that confidence. You must know that I'm a child of the King. I have the Spirit of the Lord. And because of what Jesus said, I can help this person. I can speak the word of the Lord. And you know what? That evil spirit has to go. Amen? It has to. You don't cast out demons in your name. Amen? You cast them out in the name of Jesus, the name that is what? Above every name. At that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, right? That Jesus Christ is Lord today. Amen. So God is encouraging us. Jesus was encouraging his disciples, and he's encouraging us today that if we have any obstacles, we have any mountains, we can speak to them to go, and they must listen. But we must walk in that faith today. God is telling us here, you know what? I've given you promises today. We have promises from God's word. And I want you to see a few of these today before I close. And in Matthew 21, we can turn there just a couple chapters over from where we are in Matthew 17. But in Matthew 21, verse 21 and 22, I want to read this to you. This relates, and again, is basically saying partially what was said already in chapter 17, but this is when the disciples and Jesus walk by the fig tree. And we remember the story how because the fig tree didn't have fruit, Jesus rebuked that fig tree. And then look at what happens here in verse 21. It says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree." He cursed the fig tree and it died, okay? He says, "But also, if you shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done." Amen? Jesus, again, gave him an example with the fig tree. The fig tree was not fruitful. It had no fruit. It had no figs. I like figs. How about you? Figs are good, but because this tree was not being fruitful, Jesus cursed it. And you know what? The tree died. Why? Because he spoke to it. There's power in our tongue today, church. Amen. The Bible tells us we have death or life in the power of the tongue. Amen. Powerful. Now look at verse 22. He says, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive." All right, so here's the prayer again. If we're praying, we're asking God for things in our prayer time. Amen. He says, if you believe, you'll receive them. And when those circumstances come, because you're praying and believing, you'll be able to speak, thus says the Lord. And you know what? Those obstacles, those mountains must move. Change must take place because of the authority and the word of God that's in you being released from your tongue today. Oh, hallelujah. I want to give you a few other scriptures dealing with your promises today. God has given us promises. Amen. We need to use those promises he's given us. All kinds. I don't have time to give them all to you. But I'm going to give you three promises that he gives us promises that he will give us answers to prayer. Okay? First one is Mark 11:24. I'm going to read this to you. Mark 11:24. You can write it down. He says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." There it is again. But the key is what? You must be praying. Amen? What do you desire from God today, church? Whatever it is, God says, what you desire, as long as you're praying and you're believing, you know what? I will give them to you. That's a promise from God today. I'm thankful that God hears our prayer today, aren't you? Amen? As long as it's a good prayer, amen? Another promise that we have, that God has given us, we have a promise for power, for service. We're talking today about spiritual power. How's our spiritual power? Well, God has promised us that we would have power for service today. In John 14:12, let me read you this scripture. John 14:12, it says, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." Hallelujah. And listen to this. "And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Amen. Jesus said, the works that I do, you shall do them too. Amen. But he just didn't stop there. He said, not only these works, but he said, even greater works shall you do, because I go to my Father. Amen. God has promised us power for service. Amen. Not so we can feel good. You know, you don't get the Holy Ghost bumps, you know, so you can just feel good today. It's all right to feel good, but it's for service. Amen. When you're filled and you're anointed with the Holy Spirit, it's for service. That's why you've been empowered today. Amen. And one more promise of salvation that we've been given is in Romans 1, verse 16. Let me read that to you. Romans 1, verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Amen? So we have been given a promise of salvation today. The power of the gospel. The gospel is powerful today. Do you know that, church? Amen? The gospel saved you. It's the gospel that keeps you today. Amen? The power of the gospel. To who? To him that believes. Amen. See, that's the key today, that we believe. And as we believe, we have been given these promises. Amen. To go forth and be a powerhouse for the Lord. We must have power today. We must walk in spiritual power. Look at verse 21 of Matthew 17. Let's go back. After he tells them, you know what? Nothing is impossible for you disciples. Look at what Jesus now says in 21. He finishes his answer to them why they could not rebuke that demon spirit in that boy. Okay? In 21 he says, howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. I've said everything that I said to you, church, to get to this verse right now. The disciples, they said, Lord, why couldn't we help this young boy? He tells them first, because you walked in unbelief. And then he says in 21, it's because this kind of deliverance that this boy needed, you know what? It's not going to happen unless you have prayer and fasting. Oh, it got real quiet here. I need my bell. Amen. Prayer and fasting. There's a connection here between this and the unbelief. I want you to see this today. If we're not praying and fasting, you know what? Unbelief will be there. But if we walk in prayer, and it's not just enough to have prayer, okay? Sunday morning, I'm asking you to be here, what? 9:30 to pray. It seems like it's so hard for us to do that. But we must have some prayer time, amen? Wednesday, I'm asking you, I'm not asking for a lot of time that you come and pray. This coming Friday will be different. It'll be a night of prayer. But even Wednesday, if you can come a half hour early to pray, we must be praying, church. And it's not just enough to pray either. We must be fasting too. Oh, it's getting real quiet here. You probably say, why are you teaching this today after we had spaghetti dinner? Well, because we got to be focused here. There's a time for spaghetti dinner. But there's a time, there's a time for prayer and for fasting. Amen? You know, I've encouraged some of you to fast Sunday mornings. My wife and I, for the most part, we fast Sundays, okay? Sunday morning, we don't eat. That's our time to pray and to fast for the Lord to show up and do a great work here. Amen? Maybe you don't want to do it Sunday, but you must find a time in the week that you are fasting and not just praying, okay? The disciples were weak here. They were not strong. They had unbelief. Why? Because Jesus said, you're not walking in prayer and fasting. Amen? Let me say it, church. We can have some great programs here. We can have some great spaghetti dinners here. But if we're not having prayer and fasting, it's not going to happen. All right? I'm not asking us to do a lot, you know, and I believe we're going to build up to more times of prayer and fasting, but we're not even doing it in the short times that we have here. I mean, when it's 9:30 Sunday morning, there's only a couple of us here. We need you to grasp onto this. If we want powerful lives in the Lord, if we want to have spiritual power, Jesus told his disciples here, you must have no unbelief and you must have prayer and fasting. See, if we want to help the demon-possessed boy, the demoniac boy, or we want to help the demon-possessed adult, you know what? We better be praying behind the scenes and we better be fasting, because when we come against that situation, if we're not empowered by God, you ain't going to do nothing to that demon spirit. Amen. I've seen it over and over again. And let me tell you, demon spirits are not afraid. I mean, I've had to encounter them face to face. I mean, they show up when you don't think they'll show up. In church services. In prayer meetings. Okay? I remember this, I'll never forget this one prayer meeting at our old church on the southeast side. God was moving. We had tremendous prayer. And the Lord led me to go pray for this man. And I went to pray for him. I was praying for him. And you know what? All of a sudden, that demon spirit inside of him began to talk to me. He said, I don't remember all the words, but he said something like, "This is my house. I live here." And I said, "No, you don't. You're coming out right now in the name of Jesus." But let me tell you, demon spirits will talk to you and they're not afraid. Okay? This was in a Christian man. Let me get your attention here. All right? You wouldn't know it, but that spirit came out. All right? That spirit showed up in a prayer meeting. Hello? You better be ready. Okay? You better have your spiritual power on. Amen? Because you're going to have to deal with them face to face. And you must know your authority and your power today and command that thing to go. So I took authority, amen? But it's up to that person if they want that spirit to stay there or not. Amen? All right, so Jesus, he ends here and he tells his disciple, you know what? You couldn't handle this situation because you were not in prayer and fasting. So I encourage us today, we must have time to pray. Not only when we come here at home, you need to have your times of prayer and fasting. When you fast, you get focused. Amen? When you fast, you get in tune with the Lord. When you fast, you put your body down. Amen? You put your flesh down. You put your appetite down. And you know what? When you fast and you spend time with God, you hear the voice of the Lord. Your spirit becomes so tuned in with God's spirit. He'll speak to you and you know what? You'll get it. Amen. Because you're fasting. Amen. You're showing the Lord, you know what, Lord, I'm going to put my body down. I'm not going to eat or I'm not going to watch the TV. Whatever. It doesn't necessarily mean it has to be food. Whatever you like to do. You know, you fast something. You deprive yourself of something that you like. Why? So you can be focused on the Lord. Amen. So God can speak to you. God can empower you. Times of prayer and fasting are powerful times. So that when you're doing that, you know what? In those circumstances come, when you have to deal with the devil, you're ready. What you're saying is, come on, I'm ready, devil. You're not running out the side door. Amen? You know, I'm going to share another story with you at our former church. This was a Wednesday night meeting. And unfortunately, I was not there at this meeting. I'm sure my wife will remember it. I think she was there, but I was working at the time at a Dominic's food store when this happened. So Wednesday nights I had to work, so I wasn't there. And what I found out later was that at the service, at the end of the service, the pastor, he called people forth who wanted prayer. And when he did that, there was a woman who was possessed that came to the front. And when he went to pray for her, that spirit began to manifest and began to spit in the pastor's face and began to swear. This spirit began to manifest in front of everybody right in the time of prayer. And you know what? What I was told was everybody kind of froze. They didn't know what to do. They were like, what do we do now? And of course, pastor knew what to do and he was taking authority, but you know what they did? They went downstairs to call the pastor's wife because she had many circumstances, many times as the pastor did, dealing with evil spirits, and they knew she knew what to do. So they went and called Sister Irene, that was her name, and she came up and with the pastor they together dealt with this woman. But you know what? The people were froze. When that spirit manifested, they didn't know what to do. I pray that doesn't happen here to us. Amen? We'll know what to do when the spirits reveal themselves. We must be prepared. This is why I'm sharing this with you. Okay? Prayer and fasting. I'm going to end here. I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 9. Two more verses. Conditions of spiritual power. What are the conditions so that we'd have spiritual power? We've said them, but we see them again here as we look at these scriptures here. I want you to look at verse 23 and 24 of Mark 9. This is the same story now given to you by Mark. And I want you to see something here about the Father of the Son here. The way the Father is, what he says to Jesus. Now, first Jesus says to him in 23, he says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So Jesus encouraged the Father. He says, all you got to do, my son, is believe for your son. Right? He says, just believe. If you only believe, everything will be possible for you. But look at how this man responds to Jesus. He says in 24, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears. This man was humble, was really hurting for God. He says, Lord, I believe. And that needs to be us today, saying, Lord, I believe. But look at what he says also. Help thou my unbelief. What a statement to make today. So I ask us today if we believe, okay? And I believe we do, all of us here. But you know what? We probably need to say the same thing that this man said to Jesus. But Lord, help my unbelief. Amen? When Lord, I don't believe, help me to believe today. Amen? When the circumstances seem overwhelming, and I don't seem to be able to handle it anymore, when I'm ready to lose it, Lord, I believe, but Lord, help my unbelief. Amen? That should be our prayer today, as this man did. Is this you today? Are you asking God, Lord, help my unbelief? How's your spiritual power today, is what I'm asking you now. How's your spiritual power? If you ran into someone possessed today, as the disciples did, would you be able to help them? I don't know that answer today. I know what I have to do, but it's my job to make sure you're ready. Amen? So I'm going to ask you to stand with me today. And if you feel your spiritual power is weak today, let's believe God to strengthen us. This was a service of knowing who God is, but also just believing and letting God pour out of His Spirit on us today. Amen? It's a holy place here today. This is God's house, and God wants to infuse you with His power. God wants you to be, I didn't read it from my notes, but I wrote it down. God wants you to be fueled with prayer and fasting. You want power? How many of you have ever heard? No prayer, no power. Amen? So if you want more power, we need more prayer today. Amen? You will be fueled. I encourage you, church, if you want to have strong power in your life, strong spiritual power, you'll have prayer and you'll have fasting. And you know what? In those times of prayer and fasting, unbelief will go in Jesus' name. Unbelief, when you begin to doubt, that's a signal to you. When you're at home, you're by yourself, and you begin to doubt certain things, you begin to become negative, whatever, the devil's working on you, you know what? You need to begin to pray. Cast that thing out in Jesus' name. And if it means you need to fast, you need to fast so that spirit will leave you alone. Amen? You want power? You got to pray today. You want greater power? You need to fast too. Amen? And just think, church, if we begin to do this as the church, this place will be upside down for the Lord. Amen? I mean, it was happening Friday night again. I need to say this because it blessed my heart. The people of God began to what? Pray and sing. And you know what? As prayer began to go forth, there was power. Amen? Let me tell you, you want power, we begin to pray. It'll happen. You know what? We won't have to be all worried and concerned. Lord, how is the church going to grow? That's His business. Amen? I can't make it happen. And you know what? You can't either. You better know that today. He's going to do it His way. But we got to pray that it would happen. Amen? We need to fast and seek God, and God will speak to us. God will mold us together. How many know as we pray together, as we fast together, God's going to make us a tight group here? See, if we're not praying and we're not fasting, division will always try to come in. But if we're praying and we're seeking God together and we're fasting, you know what? There's no devil that's going to come in here and hinder this work. Amen. As he tries to come, we'll tell him where to go. Amen. But see, we got to do these things. The disciples had to learn it the hard way. His own 12 didn't get it. I pray that we would learn from their mistakes. Okay? Let's not have to make mistakes. Let's learn from what they did. That's why we got the Bible, so we can learn today. Amen? Father, we thank you, Lord, today. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord. Father, I pray right now for an infusion of power to come upon us here, Lord, at Oriel Christian Assembly, Lord. We need your touch, Lord. And Father, I just pray, God, this word has ministered to us today, Lord, that we would have times of prayer and fasting before you, Lord God. That, Father, if there's any unbelief in our hearts, we cast that unbelief out of us today in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we ask, God, for your spiritual power to come upon us in a new and living way today, Lord. Let our faith be alive and well today, Lord. Let it be fresh, Lord God. Blow upon us, Lord, the fresh wind of God. Lord, I pray you would encourage and strengthen each vessel in the house today, Lord. Oh, God, let this church be a praying church, Lord, in the name of Jesus. A church that fasts and prays for the work of God in this area, Lord. Oh, God, touch our hearts. Minister to us, Lord, I pray. Father, Lord, help us to put our flesh down today in the name of Jesus, Lord. Oh, God, help us, Lord, to just walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, I pray, Lord. We just thank you, God, for this time we've had here today, Lord. Thank you for being so merciful to us, Lord, as you were to this father of this demoniac son, Lord. He said, Lord, have mercy on my son. And you had mercy, Lord. Lord, today we ask you would have mercy on us too, Lord. Lord, where we've messed up, Lord, where we've lacked, Lord, help us today, God. Forgive us, Lord, for our shortcomings, every one of us in this room today. Lord, have mercy on us, God. And give us the grace, Lord, we need to be what you've called us to be, Lord. Father, strengthen your body, I pray today, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And God, we even pray for the choir, Lord, as they begin to prepare again for Easter Resurrection Sunday, Lord. You would be with our choir, be with our group, Lord, as they, Father, practice, Lord. We ask for a special blessing on them, Lord. You would anoint them, Lord. Strengthen them, God, to do this, Lord, work for you, God. That, Lord, we would see this house full, Lord, on Easter Sunday, Lord. Jesus, we ask, God, you would draw in souls from the north, south, east, and west, Lord. This place will be full, Lord, with your people, God, with sinners, Lord, lost souls, Lord, who need to know you, God, Father. We pray for this season, Lord, this Easter season, Lord. These next 2 weeks would be powerful, Lord God. We would be changed, Lord, by the Spirit of the Lord. Do a new work in us, God, we pray, for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. Hallelujah.